God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. A lot of us are on the call here this morning, I see. Bob, you mentioned something about the folks there at Point Loma. So God bless you one and all from the great state of Oklahoma. But hey, you know what? We're all together in the Spirit, right?
That's right.
Part of this wonderful, great body of Christ. And boy, we've got so much to be thankful for. We're going to live one day at a time. One of these moments, one of these seconds, in the twinkling of an eye, it's just going to be over. But up until that point in time, we all have our divine appointments and divine places in the body of Christ. Many of you in the working world, if not all of you, have either been in the process of being interviewed for a job, or maybe you've been the one who's interviewing others for a job. Maybe for some of you it's been a number of years. But I wanted to share something called the Apostle Paul's job interview. You know, to consider Saul of Tarsus's his qualifications when he was chosen by God. You know, Paul's probably the greatest evangelist, apostle in human history. He wrote a lot of the Old New Testament, as we know. And he's certainly an example of faith that millions of folks have tried to emulate throughout history. He was a great leader. He was an awesome believer. Yet when he was chosen to lead and serve, guess what? Paul's resume didn't look too good. He was totally unqualified. Can you imagine the search committee for the church at Antioch charged with picking the next evangelist for their church? You know what Paul the Apostle did when he was chosen by God to be his anointed vessel of the gospel? Well, you know what? It's kind of easy to forget his resume. Maybe Saul's interview before the official Antioch evangelist search committee would go something like this. The interview, let's say, is Ananias. So you want to be hired by our church. What were you doing in your last position? Well, sir, I spent the last few years, up until a couple of days ago, actually, doing my best to destroy other churches. I even tried to go to Damascus and destroy the new church you have there. I was really good at it, too. They compared me with a wild animal tearing at its prey. Interviewer. Okay, so I will write down that you are a real self-starter. How did you find out about our advertisement for a position? Saul. Well, it's an interesting story. You see, I was holding the clothes of those who were stoning your friend Stephen to death, stoning being hard work and all, and I heard him talking. Then I was helping put other church members in jail, forcing them to betray Christians, and then having them killed. They were all talking about how great the pastor of your church is and how you have great benefits and how I should apply here. Then after I purposely ignored for a while, you know, goads, by the way, they don't smell so good. And while I was on the way to Damascus to get more workers, I mentioned killed or jailed, I met the boss. After he had a moment with me, I fell to my knees and I actually was blinded. He said I had a job. And Ananias said, well, what position are you applying for? He says, I want to be a chosen vessel of God and an apostle. I would also like to write the majority of Jesus' New Testament and preach grace to the world. Ananias says, great, you are hired. You know what? The point of this is God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the unqualified. He qualifies those who have been called. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's kind of a funny little interview there, but it really is so true, because God didn't look at the qualifications of Saul, who became Paul, as a requirement for him to then become such an instrumental figure in the first century church, and he continues to be a figurehead in the church, the Acts Now church, the church that's assembled there at Point Loma, this church that's assembled here on the phone line. He's such a great example of somebody who was unqualified, and then God called him to a great position of leadership in the body of Christ. And God, you know what? He is able to do exactly that, because of one thing which we really want to focus on here this morning for a few minutes, and that is God is able. We used to sing a little children's song, remember? Oh, well, he's able, he's able. I know that he is able to do what he says, that he can say what he can say what he's going to do, and that he can do what he's going to say. But God is able to do exactly that. And that word able, it means to have the sufficient power, the strength, the force, the skill, the means, or the resources of any kind to accomplish the object of whatever is needed. So let's just put away our own abilities, which is, by the way, a derivative of that word able, and our own enablements, which is also a derivative of that word able. And let's see at least 8 ways here this morning that God is able. And the first place we want to look at is in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. And you know what? God does have that power. He does have that strength. He does have that force, the skill, the means, the resources of any kind needed and necessary to accomplish whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, wherever it's needed. And we have to have a mindset that doesn't focus itself on our inability, but it focuses on God's ability, because his ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Who would have ever thought he would send Jesus Christ on our behalf to do what he did for that plan of redemption and salvation? And honestly, we are the benefactors of it. But God saw, he's able, he's capable. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So I'm looking at 8 ways this morning, and certainly not all the ways, but 8 ways that he's able. Acts 20, 32. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So number one, he's able to build you up, strengthen you, encourage you, comfort you, give you strength. What does it mean to be built up? Well, whatever it means in the moment, in your world and in my world, it means to get that quality within ourselves that's needed at any given moment. And God is able to do that. Boy, if we go away with anything this morning as a practical reality of this scripture, it's that God is able. He has the resources. You know, I may not have all the resources here even to fix the plumbing. But I know Home Depot does, so you know what? I got to run down to Home Depot to get what's needed, and hopefully they have it.
Chapter 14, which says, who are able to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So that's number two. We got one, he's able to build you up. Number two, he's able to make you stand. And, you know, in light of what even Mike McNair shared the other day, that we have the whole armor of God, and it says above all, to do what? To stand. And God has given us that ability to really to stand, and he's able to work with us and to help us. Flip over a couple chapters to Romans chapter 16. We'll start in verse 25. Romans 16, 25 says, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, or secret for the ages. God is able to strengthen us. God is able to build us up. God is able to make us and help us to stand. And then number three, he's able to establish you. He's just able to establish me, because that's the testimony of the word, of the scriptures. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, to give you that power, that strength, that force, that skill, those resources of any kind that are needed. Because remember, that's the definition of able. Somebody once said, it's already been done. We've already been enabled with those resources of the Spirit that we received at the new birth. But you know what? We still don't walk and stand alone. We have God who is assisting us in this process and in energizing the Spirit to communicate, to give us strength and ability and knowledge and wisdom when and where we need it. That's for sure. And we do need it. All right, let's move on. How about number four? Number four, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, familiar verse to many of you, says, and God is able to make all grace. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Boy, take a deep breath. He is able. Sometimes, many times, if not all the time, you know what? If we learn to rely and relax in our own strength or try to do things in our own strength without the power and the ability of God working with us, you know what? It's just so tiring, and it becomes very, very burdensome. But when we release, or someone might say surrender all, when we learn to lay it down and then be energized and to be strengthened, and God is able to make all that grace abound. We've covered this in the past couple of weeks about what grace is. Some of us have heard it to be described as divine favor. Dr. Richards, in his book, Grace, the Power to Change, defines it as grace is that free ability that's God's ability freely given to man to enable man to do that which he could never accomplish in his own ability. How about that one? God's ability freely given to man so that man can now accomplish that which he could never do in his own ability. Think of that when we think about grace in a practical way. And God is able. He's able to make all of that abound to us. All right, let's move on. Ephesians chapter 3. Love this verse. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to put this at number 5, huh? That makes sense with grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. So it says God is able. He is able to do far more abundantly. He has the power. He has the resources. He has the strength. He has whatever is needed in a given situation to accomplish whatever it is that needs to be accomplished in that situation. And he's able to do. How? Because he's God, and because he extends his grace towards a unqualified person such as you or myself, who have been now made qualified in the new birth with the spiritual realities of Christ within us and all the other benefits that come to us in a moment of time because we did one simple thing like Vicki shared the other day. We confess Jesus as Lord, believe with our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we're saved. That's it. And all of these things come into our world, so to speak, at that point in time. All right, let's look at number 5, 2 Timothy 1:12. And you know what? We're only going to a few of these. I thought 8 was kind of a cool number because that's a new beginning. So maybe we go away from this teaching session here, however brief it is, kind of refreshed and just saying, you know what, God is able. I may not be able. I may not feel like I'm able. I may have proved to myself I'm not able, but you know what? The affirmation to build that type of confidence is in the truth that God is able. And that's why we're reading through some of these scriptures here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. We've not taken the time to read in the context, but 2 Timothy 1:12, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. God is able to guard. God is able to protect. God is able to shelter. That is verified countless times in Scripture. That God, he is able to guard until that day that which has been entrusted to me. So we got some great things going on here, guys. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. You know, God is so able that he can enable us who are whosoever's to have the power and to have the ability or the ability to do whatever is needed whenever and wherever it is needed. So God, who is able, he can enable us to have the power and the ability to do whatever's needed whenever and wherever it is needed. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. These verses are so rich, you could probably take one of these and just do a sharing and a teaching on that. But my brief time here this morning is just to give us a kind of a condensed version of the power and the strength and the availability that God has in empowering us and strengthening us and convincing us that we can go and do. Because of our ability? No. Because of the power that we've been gifted with, the power that we've been so freely given. See. And finally, in Jude 24, back there towards the end of their Bible, Jude 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory. You know, God is just so big. He is so amazing. But he personalizes all of these things, like every one of those records, everything that he's talked about here. Verse, you know, the number one, he's able to build you up. Number two, in Romans, he's able to make you stand. He's able to establish you. See, he's able to make all grace abound towards you. He's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that. He's able to save you. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. You see a common denominator in there? That this ability that God has, he is so willing and desires to not just give away in a given situation, but to indicate to us that he's always there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And that we've got that strength and that power resident within us. And that combined, that spirit power combined with the Word of God in our minds and our partnership with God. I mean, hey, any superhero, watch out, because here we are. Here we go. All right? So, you know, Superman. How about Super Daniel, Super Bob, Super Genie, Super Vicky, Super Me? I mean, and, you know, Romans kind of affirms that, where he says we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors. Why? Through him who loved us. You know, God is so able that he can enable us. Who are we? We're whosoever. He can enable us to have power and to have the ability to do whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, and wherever it's needed. How about the ability to love others? How about the ability to walk in power? How about the ability to hear from God? How about the ability to walk without guilt? How about the ability to walk with confidence, to receive forgiveness? And the list goes on and on and on. You fill in the blank. But boy, having the ability with God Almighty, who called us and saved us, to be able to hear from him, man, what an amazing privilege in our day and time to have ears to hear the voice of Almighty God, however he gets that message to you. And so he is able to do not only these eight things, this is kind of scratching the surface. He's able to do this and much, much, much more. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 32. I wanted to read that interview with Paul because I just thought it was so, yes, it's humorous, but yet it speaks so loudly, because the world is all about qualifications, education, having certain this and that, which is all fine in the world, but that's not necessarily how God perceives our qualifications in the spiritual world, does he? Matter of fact, in 1 Samuel 16:7, it said, don't look at them according to the outward appearance, for the Lord looks on what?
The heart.
The heart. The heart. That's what this all has to be framed within, that context, that the Lord looks at the heart. Who was David? He was the youngest. He was the shepherd boy. All the other brothers were out there fighting the war, but they were all freaked out about Goliath. And here comes David. And you know what? He had great confidence. You know why? He knew God was what? Able. God was able. And God had proven that over and over and over again. So when it came to Goliath, you know what David thought in his heart and mind? God is able. God can deliver this giant, this heathen, this behemoth into our hands. And who is he to stand against the Almighty God? He knew of God's ability because he had experienced the ability of God in action. This verse in Jeremiah 32:17. Well, we could go off on that thing on David. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There's a great verse in there that talks about God's ability to deliver them from the burning fiery furnace. You should look at that maybe later if you want. Just do a little word search on Google for the word ability in the Bible or able in the Bible. There it is. Who is this great God who is able to save us from this burning fiery furnace? Hey, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on him, and it was, the fire was so hot it burned up those guys who threw him in the furnace. God is able. And so much, much more. Jeremiah 32:17. Oh, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Now, if you're reading Jeremiah 32:17, let's say it all together, even there in Point Loma. I can't hear you, but let's just say it. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you, God. Nothing is too hard for me. But I don't take an evidence of the truth because of what's going on in the senses world. I look at the truth of what your word says about me, about the world, about current events and all these other things that are going on. It has to be filtered through the context of the scriptures. Guys, God doesn't call the qualified. You may be sitting there in your seat tonight or on this phone call feeling very, very unqualified to speak for God, to stand for God, to walk for God, to do whatever it is. But God Almighty is the one who has called you. And in that process, he has qualified you because of the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who paid the price so that now we can walk as super conquerors, superheroes, whether we feel like it or not. That's who we are. That's who we are. Because we have a God who is able. He is willing. He has probably even greater desire than we have to see us blessed and walking and evidencing the power of the Spirit of God, because this world is in such desperate need. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatness of this word. Thank you for your love and grace, Father. And somehow, if we can just open our hearts to really believe and receive this stuff, Father, I guess in some ways it's very basic, but help us to just absorb some of it. And Father, however it's applicable to each heart here, each heart on the line, each heart out in this world, that we are not only strengthened and empowered with the Spirit because of Christ's work, but it's an ongoing experiencing of you and your ability and your power and strength in each given situation. And we should always have expectation that you will answer our prayers. You will work, Father. You will just allow us to be in situations where your word, so to speak, can be put to the test, to know that you're right there backing up every word that's spoken. So we pray for our blessing over your people today, and we thank you, God, for that wonderful, wonderful power and strength and ability that's in us, because you, Father, are able. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, huh?